In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies. It is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. Must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
Welcome to episode 1 of Conspiracy Unlimited. On this episode, I'm going to dive deep into the Las Vegas shooting massacre that left 58 souls dead and injured over 500 others back on October the 1st, the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. Who was Stephen Paddock, the supposed gunman? Was he, in fact, the crazed lone gunman, or was he a patsy? Lots of strange inconsistencies to be explored.
When you listen to some of the audio recordings from this, is you clearly hear that the shooting's going longer than 30 rounds, the magazine capacity of the firearms that he has or allegedly had in his possession. It's just going on and on. Plus, there's two different sound characters going on at the same time, where you're hearing something, the 5.56 millimeter NATO round being fired at the same time an AK-47 is being discharged.
This podcast is brought to you by Logo Creator 7 Software. You know, these days, it's more important than ever to have a good image, especially if you have a small business or you sell stuff online or post on social media. But quality graphics can cost a lot of money, and advanced software like Photoshop, that takes time to learn. Believe me, I've tried. That's why I want to tell you about some amazing piece of software called Creator 7. Creator 7 is so easy to use, yet it lets you create super-looking logos, business cards, character mascots, you name it, in just minutes. Whatever you create is going to look super cool and very impressive. Creator 7 comes with hundreds of ready-made templates. Just click and drag to make changes, and instantly, you have really impressive graphics right on your computer. Some clever folks have even ordered the Creator 7 software to start their own logo-making business, creating and selling logos and graphics for a profit. That's how good it is. But you won't believe the price. Creator 7 creates beautiful logos and designs right on your computer and works on either PC or Mac. And right now, it's available at an amazing price. To see it in action, just visit radioshowlogo.com. That's radioshowlogo.com. radioshowlogo.com. Unlimited.com.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs, here's Richard Serrett.
Yes, indeed, I am coming to you from my cozy studio beneath the stairs. It's not as cramped as you might think. There's actually quite a bit of room in here. I'm guessing maybe 100 square feet. And this room where I'm talking to you from is where the mighty Aphrodite stored all of our small kitchen appliances and all our dishes and cutlery. But I moved all of that out. And we found a bunch of stuff we had forgotten about or thought was lost over the years. In fact, I found this little wooden, it's sort of a rod-shaped tool, and I was about to toss it out. And then the mighty Aphrodite chimes in. She couldn't believe it. She goes, "You found my spurtle!" She yelled out in glee, "You found my spurtle!" "Your what?" "My spurtle," she said. I said, "What on earth is a spurtle?" Well, it turns out, you may already know this, I did not, but a spurtle is a tool used to stir porridge. And because of its shape, it doesn't create drag like a spoon. So it prevents the porridge or the oatmeal from becoming lumpy or congealing as you stir it. And this thing, I looked it up, it goes back to like the 15th century. It was invented in Scotland. So there's your word for the day, spurtle. And if you love porridge and oatmeal in the morning, like we do here in the Serrett household, no kitchen should be without a spurtle. All right, on to far more serious matters, grave matters. Couldn't get much more serious, more odious, more evil, in fact, than the horrible shooting, the massacre in Las Vegas back on October the 1st. 58 killed, 546 wounded, many of those, of course, in the ensuing stampede. The attendees at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival were sitting ducks. And the supposed shooter, we are to believe, was Stephen Paddock. Here we had a retired, flabby accountant, real estate owner, millionaire, who spent most of his spare time gambling. He was a high roller. And it was Paddock, we are again led to believe, someone with zero military experience, who supposedly smuggled in an arsenal of about 24 weapons into his hotel room on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, thousands of rounds of ammunition. Now, I have stayed away from talking about this massacre, hoping that with the passage of time there might be some more information forthcoming about motive or other accomplices, or at least a consistent timeline. But here we are almost 2 months later, and still nothing. In fact, very little new information has come out. A day ago, we had a report from a forensics expert who concluded that approximately 1,100 rounds of ammunition were fired during the shooting rampage, which is kind of odd when you think about the duration of the rampage, how many shots were fired. I mean, that takes a great deal of physicality to be able to fire that many rounds. It's just not like pushing a button. Handling these weapons, you have to be in reasonably good shape, and we'll get into that during the next 40 minutes or so. The other piece of news relating to the shooting that has just come out, that is, yet another survivor of the massacre has suddenly died. 52-year-old Roy McClellan, we're learning, was killed November the 17th while he was walking on the roadway in Pahrump, Nevada, which is about 60 miles west of Las Vegas. He was hit by a Chevrolet Camaro that fled the scene, this according to the Nevada Highway Patrol. Now, McClellan and his wife made it out safely when the massacre started. And this is kind of interesting because McClellan now is the fourth survivor to die suddenly. Back in October, there was another shooting survivor, Kimberly Schomel, who died suddenly in her sleep. Now, Kimberly was one of a number of survivors who maintained there were multiple shooters in Vegas, multiple, on the ground. And then also in October, another couple who survived the shooting were killed in a car accident near their home in Riverside County, California. Dennis and Lorraine Carver were trapped inside their car after it slammed into a metal gate and caught fire. Horrible, horrible way to go. Imagine surviving this massacre only to die this way. Now, I know Kimberly was very outspoken about what she witnessed. She saw, again, multiple shooters. She was adamant about it, and she was reaching out to other survivors on social media. I don't know about Roy McClellan and the Carvers, what their position was, what they saw. But again, four survivors of the Vegas shooting are now dead. And now with my brand new podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited, I will dive into this. There are so many things about that event that don't make sense, still don't make sense, so many inconsistencies. I'll tell you what, it's such a great pleasure to have this gentleman part of the inaugural voyage of Conspiracy Unlimited. He's a true original, the real deal. He's an independent investigator, researcher, blogger, and the host of his own podcast called Conspiracy Cafe. Now, he's been with me a number of times on my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show. And now here he is with me on Conspiracy Unlimited. Great pleasure to welcome George Freund. George, how are you?
Oh, very well, Richard. Thanks for having me aboard. And together we'll change the paradigm of human history with the truth and put fake news to bed.
You know, you and I are both Christians, and so as such, we both subscribe to the idea that there is, you know, evil. There is evil in this world. Satan is running the show down here on Earth. But I can't think of a recent event. Obviously, mass shootings are all, you know, motivated by evil. But 58 dead, and at this point, no clear motive. I can't think of such an unspeakable evil in recent memory that has affected me so much because, again, we know so little. Typically, there is a timeline constructed and we have a motive and we have, details, more details. We have nothing. Here we are nearly 2 months and nothing. Have you ever witnessed anything like this before, George?
Well, by and large, I look at this mass casualty event as something very, very similar to the Kennedy assassination, because you have people shot in the open in front of all kinds of other people, and you have elements of the mob, the intelligence agencies, the death of witnesses, the patsy who's killed, the witnesses saying there's multiple shooters from multiple locations, and it's just, instead of having Dealey Plaza, we have a stage set where we have a big entertainer with thousands and thousands of people all held hostage under a big pyramid of, you know, some kind of satanic twinge to add to the spice of this massacre.
I got to stop you right there, because right out of the chute, you're saying something, you know, very, very compelling and incendiary, and that is that Paddock, like Oswald, was a patsy.
Oh, very much so. He was most likely dead before anybody got in the room. There was rigor mortis in the body.
How do we know that?
Well, because I've studied all the photos, and that was my specialty. And when I was a policeman, was evidence and intelligence. I was the only person who ever said that Guy Paul Morin was innocent. I was pilloried for that, laughed at. One of my class colleagues is a former cabinet minister, former chief of police, former commissioner of the OPP. But, I looked over the evidence and said, this guy didn't do it. It's all circumstantial. It's somebody else.
What police force were you serving on?
Well, I worked with the University of Toronto Police.
All right.
So I was taking an investigator's course with some of the top investigators in Ontario, and Guy Paul Morin was the subject for this course. It was taught by a provincial court judge. No student ever said Guy Paul Morin was innocent, except me. I was the only one ever. And then about 15, 20 years later, they invented DNA testing and precluded him from the list of suspects.
This was a famous murder case here in Ontario involving the death of a young child who they lived next door to the Morans, did they not?
Yes. Right. So that's why you had tons of circumstantial evidence. They used the same laundromat and such like that.
All right. So with Paddock, and you say you saw you studied the photographs, but do we know how soon after he was supposedly killed those photographs were taken?
It's difficult to say, but what we see is we see a manufactured crime scene. One of the big things you said, how many rounds were fired?
1,100.
Okay, and some estimates were going as high as 2,000. You look at the room where the bodies found, of pictures that were published in the newsprints, and you just see a few cartridges on the floor.
Excellent point.
They should be like a couple inches deep almost.
1,100 shells in a
very small
in a hotel suite. You're right. That's a great point.
And, you know, I've been to ranges after the tactical unit is practicing for, you know, like a presidential visit or this or that. Like, you know, I'd be scooping up enough brass to last me a lifetime. And, where is it? It's not there. So that's one of the glaring errors. So I put a blog up, crime scene, do enter. And you can look at the things. And it looks like it was staged. Like, one of the big things is you don't move anything on a crime scene, but you can see different rifles appearing in different photos at different times that they've been moved and planted there. When you look at the blood stain that's coming out of his head from his alleged suicide, the brass cases are on top of the blood. The blood didn't go on top of them, so it implies that the brass cases were put there. You can also see a pattern where, you know, well, fluids, it doesn't matter what it is. There's a brass case in the blood fluid, and the blood is approaching the brass case. It should, you know, go around it, but it doesn't. There's no sign that it went around it. So obviously the case was put on top, and that means that the crime scene was staged and things were planted. A forensic examiner looked at pictures of the body, and he said rigor mortis had set in. And so you're dealing with someone who has rigor. There's another big thing.
How soon does rigor mortis set in after?
Well, that can vary on temperatures and such like that, but considering these evidentiary photos are supposed to be of a very recent suicide that they just got into the room because he's supposed to have killed himself just prior to the police coming in, it shouldn't have been there at the time the photos were taken.
That's also been disputed, hasn't it? Didn't they say at first it was a suicide, and then, I mean, the timeline is changing, and the details are like shifting sand, but didn't someone else then come out and say that he was shot by police?
The first instance, they said he was shot by the police, and then they turned it into it was a suicide. One of the big things that comes up is when you see the body, and, you know, I've got the picture of the body on my website, you can't miss that, and, you know, the pictures in the media have Mr. Paddock with a tattoo on his neck with the number 13. And the body's on the floor, face up, head back. There's no tattoo on his neck.
Hmm.
So, you know.
So, A, it wasn't Paddock, and B,
it's probably not Paddock.
Paddock wasn't the shooter.
You know, he might not even exist. They may have made him up to a degree that, you know, they stole his identity or just use his name. You know, who knows? He could be sitting on a beach in the South Pacific with his girlfriend now. But this body, compared to the picture that they presented, I'm just looking at the evidence and looking at it logically. Okay, it's like you gave me a wooden nickel, okay? I tap it on the table, and I go, this is a wooden nickel. No, it's not. Well, I can see it's wood. I can feel it's wood. I put it in the fire, it burns. It doesn't melt. It's wood. So logic determines what the answer is, not what someone tells you or tries to make you pre-conclude.
George, just hold on, because you said something that's so important. Never accept wooden nickels.
Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Or what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the hosts of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you. Now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Clinky County 911. There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app or at whatwasthatlike.com.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
I want to share this with you. If you're looking for world-class website hosting at a fair price, there's a company I want to tell you about. Pear Networks. Pear Networks hosts hundreds of thousands of websites. And why do I recommend them? Well, it's simple. Because they set the standard for excellence with a technical support staff that's really second to none. Their support team, they respond so quickly. They always give me straight answers, which is important because, well, I'm kind of slow. Plus, they have top-of-the-line technology, and that's why Pear Networks offers reliability for your website with a money-back guarantee. So whether you're a professional web designer or a busy web marketer, or you're just getting a site online, Pear Networks has a web hosting plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at pear.com. Let me spell it out for you. P-A-I-R.com. Pear Networks.
The truth goes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Then, it is violently opposed. Finally, it is accepted as self-evident.
Let me just read that again. I don't know what that means.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
George Freund stays with us from Conspiracy Cafe. We're talking about the Vegas shooting. I mentioned the forensics report, 1,100 rounds fired. Now, the duration of the shooting, what is it? Somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes, 10 and 15 minutes?
Basically, yes.
Right. 1,100 rounds in 10 to 15 minutes. I'm not a weapons expert by any means, but I have talked to some people familiar with handling automatic weapons, and they say that for someone with, well, let's face it, He was a retired flabby accountant, as I had described him. For someone just to go in there and fire off 1,100 rounds, that's, you don't just do that, or am I mistaken? Could anyone just fire 1,100 rounds in 15 minutes?
Yes, but they would have a different weapon. They'd have a belt-fed machine gun. And when you listen to some of the audio recordings from this, is you clearly hear that the shooting's going longer than 30 rounds, the magazine capacity of the firearms that he has or allegedly had in his possession. And it's just going on and on. Plus, there's two different sound characters going on at the same time, where you're hearing something, the 5.56 millimeter NATO round being fired at the same time an AK-47 is being discharged. So we have multiple guns being fired at the same time and guns being fired longer than it would take. You'd have to reload several times, and that's going to take you a lot of time, too, to put that many rounds through a gun, especially since he's firing from two different windows, they allege. Part of the other big problem with these windows is they have alarms on them. And these modern windows are made so that, say, me and you were drunk and we got in a fight on Saturday night and you threw me against the window. It's not going to break and I'm not going to go through. It's maybe not bulletproof, but it's about as close to it as you can get. And friends of mine who go to Las Vegas all the time are very well aware of that hotel. In fact, my webmaster's fellow employees, you know, one killed and two wounded at this event. So, you know, there were real killings, but there's a lot of fake evidence. So just as we discussed in the Ottawa shooting on your show that time ago, some of the pictures of the alleged wounded look like crisis actors, that the media is putting up some fake photos. And because there's no signs of the fact that you've had mass trauma to your body. The most major hole in their story is there's a picture of two women lying on the ground, and you're looking at one woman from the rear side, and she's supposed to be dead or severely wounded or something like that. There's not a whole lot of blood there, but the major thing to say that she's not dead or hasn't been in trauma is her bladder didn't void. She's dry. So as soon as you lose all muscular control because you're dead, it's coming out, and there's nothing, no power on earth that's ever going to stop that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned, nothing funny about it, but I saw a video taken on a smartphone by people wandering through the lobby of a Hooters, which is sort of kitty corner to Mandalay Bay and the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. I don't know if you've seen the video, but you have these two gentlemen walking through the lobby, and there are slot machines at this Hooters, and they're being very nonchalant, but what they're seeing are bodies draped in white sheets. You're seeing apparent victims, some of them alive, with blankets around their shoulders. They're huddled on the ground, but there's no screaming, there's no crying, and I looked at the video a few times. I saw these bodies draped in sheets. No blood that I could see. It's possible they were victims of trampling or heart attack or some other trauma. So that's very strange. And then we have the same night video taken from across the street from gentlemen who are visiting Las Vegas. And we see a line of ambulances racing towards the Hooters. And we're told there are 17, at least by their count, 17 ambulances rush to Hooters. One witness in Hooters, actually there were several, who say a sole member of a SWAT team came through the rear of the Hooters lobby, telling people to get down. There was talk of another gunman, and even talk they overheard of police reporting a shooter had stolen a police car. Now, this is supposedly all happening at the same time as the shooter at Mandalay Bay. Are you familiar with those reports, and what do you make of them?
Well, there's reports that there were multiple locations, including other hotels like the Bellagio, the New York, where people were shot and that they had victims. On the police recordings, there was a warning put out from one of the main dispatchers warning police to lock their cars because people were trying to get into the cars to take shotguns. And the reason they were doing that is they were probably trying to hope to protect themselves, because a picture did come out from a phone where there was a guy dressed in a security uniform in the crowd with a weapon opening fire on people on the ground. So, you know, clear evidence that we have another shooter. Taxi cab driver pulling up to the Mandalay Bay, focused on the fourth floor. There's shots coming out of two different windows. And this hotel also has service windows where you can take windows out to do outside maintenance. And in some of the photographs, these windows aren't there. They're like, instead of the shiny glass, you got a black spot that they've been out. And other people could have access to go out and do things. There's also reports of shots being fired from a helicopter, and a very, very strange helicopter that made a landing on the roof of a hotel and did an exfiltration and took somebody out. And this helicopter was actually, you know, because you have a transponder on all these aircraft to tell you, you know, friend or foe, who it is
right.
in the military, but to say your flight number. And the flight number was for a passenger jet that was supposed to be going from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Las Vegas, which conveniently was delayed 7 hours, but it's on a helicopter and the plane had already landed. And the plane that landed didn't have the tail number of the transponder that was supposed to be the flight. So somebody got in there and landed on the roof and took somebody away. Who that somebody was this part of the WAC team or, some other agents that were being smuggled out? It's very difficult to tell, but a very highly unusual thing. The big mistake that the powers to be made is they cleared the FAA website of all the details of a lot of the things, including planes that Mr. Paddock owned that just happened to be working for the defense industry in the East Coast through various companies in the Obama administration days. And they purged that, but there's a website that's called FlightAware that wasn't touched, and all the information was still there showing who owned them, what kind of contracts they had. They specialized in doing work for the CIA and the American State Department and such like that were their specialty. So Paddock is a very, very, he's not just, the accountant idiot, whatever. He may very well have been involved with the CIA. His girlfriend was brought into the United States by a State Department CIA specialist in China.
How do we know that?
Well, that's all documented in her entry papers. So, you know, I can dig through my pile here and get at her name. But she was, in the 70s, a fighter with, insurgents that were fighting against Marcos in the Philippines. So she is most likely a CIA operative going back a long time, and she's been smuggled into the United States. And her name at that time was very, very different, Natividad. And, let me see here, Mary Lou Ocampo Natividad was her name, and they called her May Escrita Fighter. And she was sponsored by Carl W. Ford Jr., China analyst with the CIA to come into the United States. So this provides us with the thing that, you know, when your girlfriend's pretty much an intelligence operative in a very, very tight situation in the Philippines, that's rather unusual. But you see, all this stuff is never going to be reported. Like, if I was working for a major newspaper and I came up with a story like that in a free world, you get the Pulitzer Prize. So what they do here is, you're walking across the street on a highway and somebody runs you down.
Well,
and
exactly.
You're a witness that doesn't live anymore.
Well, that brings us back to Mr. McClellan. We just found out November 17th he was killed in a hit and run. The vehicle fled the scene. Now, he was a survivor. He's number four.
There's some other very interesting people as well. I don't know if you've heard of John Bielman.
No.
He allegedly killed himself and his daughter. But see, something very unusual was found.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
In the hotel room, they found a battery pack for a very special type of iPhone that's only used by the intelligence agencies.
The FBI.
And he owned the company.
The FBI had visited his house about 48 hours prior. We don't know why. Then he supposedly took his handicapped daughter out into the backyard, killed her, and then killed himself. So that's six survivors in less than two months. What do you
and
make of that?
We have another chap here called Chad Nishimura. He was the valet who parked Paddock's car, and he disappeared after giving an interview on a Hawaiian news network, KITV. And he said when Paddock came in, which was days before they officially say he came in, that he didn't carry many bags. He was traveling very light. So one of the conspiracy ends of things is saying that the O.J. Simpson release was timed so that all kinds of media would be in town. And what does media bring, right? If you're going to do a major TV network thing, you're bringing in cases and cases and cases, cameras, equipment, of all sort and description to hook up to satellites and such.
So which could be used as cover to smuggle in
the weapons. And who was next door or just down the hall from his room? The media. And there's reports from the hotel servicing thing that he ordered up food and had guests in his room. We have to speculate whether that was the media. One of the other big flaws to this is they said, when this Jesus Campos, the security guard, who doesn't exist in the Nevada database for security people, and there's no records for him anymore at the Mandalay Hotel, they've been cleansed. So he looks like he's been an invented person. But anyway, he's supposed to have fired almost, 100 or so rounds in his general direction. People who were in the hotel said there was no damage to anything in the hotel. No paint damage, plaster damage, holes in anything.
Well, that's another odd story. The case of Jesus Campos. They have admitted that he was he was not licensed in Nevada, but he's private hotel security. He didn't have to be registered in the state. What's interesting, George, about Jesus Campos is he supposedly sustains a leg wound. I can't imagine a leg wound from an automatic weapon could be described as anything but serious. So he sustains this leg wound, and days later, here we have a material witness to the biggest massacre in mass shooting in U.S. history, and this material witness is allowed to leave the country, ostensibly to visit friends or family in Mexico. So that's very odd. I mean, what isn't odd about this story? What isn't strange about this story?
Well, it gets more odd, really. When Campos was going for his stress therapy, you know, he was going to the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center, which in years past there was a CIA mind control program going on there by Lewis Jolly West, who worked on the MKUltra project of all places. So he was getting his pills from the appropriate place. When he went for this award ceremony where he's limping, they made a big mistake. They made a very big mistake, because the Jean-Georges Steakhouse in Las Vegas, where it alleged to have happened, was completely renovated in July 2017. So the photos they take of him are in the old style of the place, and the refurbished restaurant after July 2017 isn't there. And then, you know, net detectives who are good at the, you know, looking at the time and your internet pictures and all that, found out that this picture was manufactured a day before the event happened. So that's called, you know, Jesus Campos Award Ceremony photos are proof of a staged deception. And, you know, you can't walk away from that. That's forensic evidence that shows that you got a hole in it. And that's probably why the story's been dropping off the radar screen for mainstream media, because it's something you would expect that they would yell at and scream about for years, months, or even longer, but they don't, because alternative media is punching holes in things that just completely and totally destroy their crap, for lack of a better word. The other part is his handler, the guy who is his spokesman, David Hickey, from the union, that's a union affiliated with NASA employees as well, was raided in 2012 by federal agents for, you know, mishandling money and, you know, possibly laundering money from all the unions at nuclear power plants in the NASA Space Center. And for some strange reason, no charges were ever filed against him. But many other executives in this union, and there's like a three-page list, you know, were all charged with offenses of all sorts of descriptions going back to 2006. But he walks away scot-free, and then all of a sudden he becomes Mr. Media to handle Mr. Campos. So I guess that was his payback thing is, you know, you're our man, you're our agent, we have you under control, we let you go, and you'll do whatever we say whenever we say.
Overwhelmed by investing?
If you're anything like us, the hardest part is getting started. That's why we created the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Our goal is to help simplify money so it can work for you.
We invite guests to demystify investing.
At least try to be setting aside like the minimum 10% into the 401k.
We'll teach you the basics of the market.
Yeah, I think compound interest should be at the start of any discussion about investing. And
we've had investment professionals who teach in a simple way.
A valuation-driven bear market. You know, we haven't really seen yet, and I think everyone's thinking about it, but we haven't really seen yet.
Our Q&A episodes feature questions from listeners just like you.
So what do you think about the situation with ETBI, which is Activision?
I'm Dave Ahern.
And I'm Andrew Sather.
And we hope you join us on the Investing for Beginners podcast.
On the Investing for Beginners podcast.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Let me ask you about one of the survivors that died suddenly. And now there are five survivors who have died within the last 2 months. Kimberly Schommel or Schommel. I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. She was very vocal on social media, adamant, reaching out to other survivors of the shooting, that there were multiple shooters, some on the ground, shooting people virtually at point-blank range. As she fled, she maintains that she was being pursued by gunmen, again, on the ground, reached out to other survivors, and then died suddenly in her sleep. Now, she did suffer from epileptic seizures. They're attributing her death to, I guess, post-traumatic stress syndrome, which aggravated her condition, perhaps. I don't know. What do you make of that?
Well, I would say that's one of the reasons why I look at it as being so similar to the Kennedy assassination. You were there. You saw the shooter on the grassy knoll. You talk about it. You're dead in a very short period of time. And she's just classic because she went vocal. She went first. And, you know, you can't deny her story. She's an eyewitness. She was there. She saw it with her own eyes. And that's an incentive to a lot of other people just to keep their mouths shut because you know what you're going to get the treatment next. So maybe there's a whole plethora of other people that have evidence and they're afraid to use it, say it, or put it out anywhere for fear of retribution.
Then we have the very early reports. I don't know that it... It aired more than once. It may have been MSNBC. This was an eyewitness who was near the stage at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival who reported that a woman, appeared to be a Latino, approached her and started shouting at her and others that they're everywhere and you're going to all die in about 45 minutes.
Correct. And not just that, there was also a chap who was on the dark web blogging saying that they were going to have this happen as well. He called it a high incident project, and he put this out September 11th, 2017, saying that they're going to have something happen. Las Vegas was one of the potential targets, and there was a reason for this, is that they wanted to bring in like a total control grid for all buildings where you have the back scanner systems to x-ray you and high security everywhere where you, you know, basically are going from one prison building to another prison building. And they wanted to have all this in place by 2020. And he specifically named Mr. Chertoff, you know, the classic from 9/11 and a lot of things before. I think he was a Whitewater counsel in the Clinton days. And
Was he former director of Homeland Security?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So now he runs the Chertoff Group and his associate, Sheldon Adelson, the billionaire and casino owner, expect to make billions in profit out of something like this as states, specifically Nevada first, but other states follow suit with high security.
So that's the motive you're saying.
Well, that's what this chap said. Like, you know, if you're telling me from September 11th that, you know, this is what's going to happen and it happens, and all the people that you're exposing are in a position to profit, you have the key bono who benefits, that they're there to benefit. That puts you at the top of the list as far as looking for suspects. If we were a free and open society where we're going to start putting people under surveillance and investigation and such like that, but we know the rot's at the top anyway, so they're never going to investigate themselves or hold themselves accountable in any way, shape, or form. But once that piece of evidence came out, you know, you could just see that this story dropped off mainstream news right away. And because it got very popular in the blogosphere about who's behind it, how, and why. And when you look at, and I wasn't that familiar with Chertoff's background. I never really looked into it enough. But when you hear, okay, Clinton, Whitewater, you know, the World Trade Center attack, the first one, and such like that, that he's the prosecutor going after the blind sheik. He was involved with the case with the underwear bomber. You know, now you see what it, you know. What did they used to say in the Bush days? You know, when they talked about that it's Al-Qaeda, they had that special term. You remember that one?
No.
All the hallmarks, that's it. Has all the hallmarks. So, you know, okay, well, here's your words back. Eat them. This has all the hallmarks of an inside job. Same type of thing, too, where you have deep state actors in the Kennedy assassination that are holding cabinet posts and maybe even the vice presidency that are working to take out the president with the cahoots of the FBI director. They're as dirty as can be, but they control the case. They control the hearings that are going to come afterwards, what evidence is presented, and what's going to be released to the media, and we'll be held hostage to that and have no other means. But we're in a generation now where we have computers, alternative media, the internet. You know, a bright kid anywhere can put something on YouTube, and if he's got the right ticket, you know, hundreds of thousands of people can tune into that and turn off CBS News and say goodbye, we'll never miss you.
George Freund is an independent researcher, investigator, and the host of Conspiracy Cafe. Conspiracy-cafe.com is the website, and he also posts his blogs there quite frequently. Conspiracy-cafe.com. So give me then your alternative timeline, how you think this went down. If Paddock wasn't the shooter, if in fact he was dead hours perhaps before the shooting rampage began, and you mentioned, based on the photographs, rigor mortis had already set in, and again, no, an absence of shell casings in his hotel suite, if in fact he had fired 1,100 rounds.
You got to notice.
Yes, and this is coming from a forensics report that came out yesterday. So,
see, the big thing with that, Richard, from a comedic standpoint, I don't know if you ever watched Home Alone or something like that.
Oh, yes, it was on the other night, actually.
Yeah, classic. Actually, I recommend that for your home defense training or something. Lots of things you can do at the low end that are very effective, and one is like putting marbles or ball bearings on the stage. These brass cases are round. Right. And, you know, you go stumbling into a room with 1,100 of them on the floor, you're probably going to end up on your butt because you're going to step on some and they're going to roll. Right. And you're going to fall.
Precisely.
So that's how thick and such that this should be. They're hard pieces of brass and they're slippery and wet a little bit because they've come out of the gun. They have gunpowder residue on them. And, you know, you put your soft, rubbery little soles from your tack boots on there. And, you know, you may be having your ankles pointed to the ceiling and your butt to the floor. So it's just beyond belief that many rounds were fired from this room and that one man could do it, change that many magazines. Even if you were RoboCop, you'd be taxed to the limits and might have to change a fuse if it blew. The you know, one of the big things that comes out of the alternative media to say what really happened is the fact that there was an arms deal going down in this hotel. And that Stephen Paddock, with his planes being used for transporting things for the intelligence agencies or the black shadow parts of the American government, that something went wrong and they lost control of this. There's another big story that 30 FBI agents checked into the hotel before this happened. You know, what are the odds, right? You got 30 FBI agents rolling around. Maybe most of
them
are hanging
out at the
bar. Is
that report credible, though, George? Is that report credible?
Yes. Very much so. And see, the big thing is we are trained to doubt ourselves and cast aspersions on the truth, especially when we use that C word, conspiracy. Hmm. Before they invented the conspiracy word, if you go back to Sherlock Holmes in the 19th century, what would they call a conspiracy theory?
Investigative reporting.
Yeah, exactly. Or deductive reasoning.
Ah, yes.
So you look at something and you use logic, and they don't teach logic anymore. But if something's not logical, it can't be. So you can't have two answers to the same thing. It defies the laws of logic, which we're not taught anymore. So someone's telling me that, you know, I've got this lone assassin and he fired 1,100 rounds, but they're not on the floor. Logic says, and there's nothing you can do to change it. It didn't happen the way you said. Or, you know, when we can go build on the fact that those pieces of brass aren't on the floor and go further and further and further to say it probably never happened.
Okay, so you said an arms deal was going down. So let's start to piece together a possible alternative timeline. If Paddock was shot and he's the patsy, then how do you think it may have gone down?
Well, one very, very hot piece of information, and this comes from a Bulgarian reporter who's been going over a thing called Silkways Airlines and their weapons trafficking. And this woman has lost her job, been tortured, and still put out her story. So that's why I put her at the top, because in, you know, facing just unbelievable crisis after crisis in her life, she's, you know, got the goods. She's been to Syria. She's gone to Azerbaijan, where these cargo planes are originating. Weapons are being flown in diplomatic cargo. The CIA is a major customer. Her name is Dilyana Gaitanshiva. And I read her first story when it came out, and I was going like, wow, they must have some press in Bulgaria. But then, like I say, she lost her job and got tortured after the first story came out. But there is an associate in Las Vegas, a Russian mafia leader by the name of Razdan Shulaya. And he was put under arrest by the FBI, and there's been a lot of look going on into there, but there were weapons flights going to Chicago. You know, who came from Chicago? Mr. Obama and a lot of his henchmen with the Chicago mob. That there was a specific flight on 1st August where Silkways Airlines was flying from Dubai to land in Chicago, but the flight was delayed for so-called mechanical reasons. And some guy named Stephen Paddock arrived at the customs gate at O'Hare International Airport. So, you know, just as someone who uses news or is interested in news or is interested in investigation, I would say now that's got to be like the number one lead story in the New York Times to say, how come Stephen Paddock shows up at the airport when an international arms flight from the United, you know, from the CIA
is
coming to town? What's he doing there?
This is like Oswald arriving in Mexico City at the Cuban embassy.
To go to the embassy.
Right.
Exactly. So they're saying in this that, you know, there's a lot of money laundering going on, and that's part of his cover by being a gambler is, you know, money's going through your hands tooth and nail, and you can do anything you want. Now, this woman had the bills of lading in her article in multiple languages, but, you know, saying what's on the plane. And, you know, there are pilots that don't like flying with a lot of this stuff, but there's end-user agreements. So there was that TV show out like a couple of years ago about an international arms smuggler, and that's how they finally caught the guy with the person who infiltrated his network and got these end-user agreements to say, okay, I got the papers, and I have them on my website,
okay,
all
so,
of them.
So there, this plane is filled with arms, lands in Chicago, and then what happens?
Well, that we don't know. It's just her story ended with the fact that in this post that I have that Paddock showed up there. So somehow he knew about it or he's affiliated with it. Now we have him in a room with 23 guns and there's a giant massacre happened. So what happened if they're doing something like Operation Fast and Furious, where they're giving guns to Mexican drug dealers? In this scenario, they're suggesting that maybe they were giving guns to possible ISIS terrorists to do the same thing, to track them, so that the gun is marked, or even to have a satellite sensor on it that you could track the weapon and see where they go. But something went seriously wrong. They killed Paddock, and then they just went absolutely berserk and opened fire from many, many venues. The only thing is this had to be planned at a very, very deep level because they're wearing security uniforms. There's reports from the Australian witnesses that they saw security chasing security through the hotels.
Yes, yes, I've heard that from a number of sources.
Yeah, so that was well covered in the Australian press and kind of a little bit in the British press, and I doubt if it got much juice in the American press or the Canadian Vassal that's underneath. And, you know, you can't deny that now. We got names, we got all sorts of people. There's also another, you know, obscure story of how the FBI went after this other guy in the same timeline. This was in the Daily Sheeple. FBI gives a man a rifle and urged him to carry out a mass shooting to defend Islam. And, you know, he didn't really want to do it, you know, so this is their methodology. This is what they do is they come on you and they set you up. And almost all of the FBI stings for the so-called terror attacks have all been something that it's their guy that, you know, they gave him the weapon, they gave him money and, you know, cajole them into technically breaking the law. Then they arrest him and say they have a terrorist. And
but George, if it was a weapons deal that went awry, and let's say they were trying to track these weapons, so they were going to sell them to jihadists, the jihadists killed Paddock, and then, as you say, they just went crazy and wild and started shooting up the place from different vantage points. Why cover that up? Because does that not also play into the as a false flag? Then you can take that information. Okay, we are under attack by radical jihadists, and I think we are. But in this case, it was manipulated. Obviously, you can still arrive at your motivation for this whole thing. In other words, you can still use that false flag, no matter who's behind it, to increase security in all buildings, increase surveillance and so forth. It still plays into the deep state's hands. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it could. But the trouble is we've gone so far to out people. One of the ones that's been outed too is Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He owns 50% stock in an Alabama-based CIA corporation called Maverick Aviation, which provides military-style helicopters that were suspected of being used in Las Vegas. It started out in the Afghan War with this company so that they could have Russian helicopters, and a bunch of agents were arrested by the Russians trying to pick one up in Siberia. Released ultimately, but they have a company that provides all sorts of these types of helicopters, some of them even the silent operating type, heavily modified. The company owns something, three Mustang leased Airbus EC-130 helicopters with Maverick Aviation Group. And it's just ironic that, okay, well, Jeff Sessions owns part of this company, Maverick Aviation Group, owner Gregory Roshna, previously resided in Enterprise, Alabama, a city that Curtis Childry, Maverick Aviation CIA guy, used to live in. And they even have the address on one of those websites where you can look up people's address, where you have an address called 112 Red Wing Drive. The new owner runs a website dedicated to high-powered shooting game enthusiasts. That's so bizarre, you can't make it up.
It's getting deeper and deeper, and just like the Kennedy assassination, I fear it's going to turn into a navigable swamp.
Well, we can write big books on stuff like that, so many on the Kennedy assassination. One of the other sidebar stories that came out, it's based on a photograph, but there's a photograph of a guy being taken out by a SWAT team through the casino. And the people in the casino have their hands up. And the guy who's being taken out is a dead ringer for Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, well.
So you look at that picture, mm-hmm. and it's easy to say two people aren't the same from a few characteristics, but he bears quite a resemblance to him, whether it is him or not. I'm doubtful because of the fact that he'd have his own security retinue,
exactly.
and he's being taken out by the local police.
Well, whoever they were taking out, the fact they were taking someone out at the same time, you're saying roughly at the same time the shooting is taking place?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's one of those things like, there's something happens to the president, you grab him by the arms and hustle him out the door. They weren't that radical about it, but this guy was taken out. Where did they take him? I'm not too sure. But was he the person that may have been exfiltrated from the roof by helicopter? Mm. It's that's something that hasn't gone to rest either. Somebody landed and somebody left. Who they were, what they did is difficult to say. But it's obvious that what we've been told is just a total pack of lies. It's something even a good 5-year-old could probably poke a few holes in right at the outset. But everything is just one lie built on the other lie. In the recording I did for my show, I play the police tapes. Because you can question everything, say this, that. You just listen to them talking when the police are going from one place to another place, and you're scared, right? You're going into a combat zone, and you're talking about there's shooters on other floors, or there's multiple shooters, or you're getting reports of multiple shooters. Okay, it's there, live as it happened, recorded by a radio club. You can't get away from that. That's the best evidence. That's what I use for my Sandy Hook show. It was probably one of the most popular things I ever did. That thing just went ballistic. They pulled my website down from that one. But you can't argue with it. The police tapes are there. So when the police go behind the school and the guy confronts other people, he goes, "There's someone there." You're scared, right? Somebody's got a gun. They're going to shoot you. You couldn't mistake the fear in the man's voice when he saw the other people. And then conveniently, the news helicopter had photographs of them in the woods.
It's amazing. Initial reports, also the mass shooting in Norway. There are always reports of multiple shooters. And then within hours, it's just one lone crazed gunman.
Right.
Happens every time. George, I know we can count on you to stay on the case, and I'm sure we're going to revisit this. We have to. We can't let it go. Too much at stake. And I thank you for your service.
Oh, and you too, Richard. Like I say, just tag team, put evil down on the mat, and spit on it when you leave the room.
George Freund, conspiracy-cafe, conspiracy-cafe.com. and the Conspiracy Cafe podcast. Thanks again, George.
Bless you. Good night.
Good night. I am so excited about episode 2 of Conspiracy Unlimited, and that will be available on Wednesday. And I want to share details about that upcoming episode. But first, let me share this with you. Have you heard about this free guide you can download? It contains a list of online power tools to make you more efficient, secure, even boost your income. Who wouldn't want that? And best of all, this online toolbox guide, absolutely free. How do you get it? Simply visit freebusinesstoolbox.com and you can grab a copy while they last. They'll go quickly. This guide has some of the very same online tools that successful business owners use every day, and each one highly recommended. Yeah, I know some websites will offer a special giveaway like this, but then they want to stick you into a recurring program or some other deal. This isn't like that. There's no hidden thing to try. No credit card needed, no cost whatsoever. BrightBiz is literally giving away this online toolbox guide completely free as a means of, well, putting their best foot forward. But this is a limited time offer, so grab your free guide today and take your business and your income to the next level. Visit freebusinesstoolbox.com to get your free guide to 36 online power tools. That address again, freebusinesstoolbox.com. Coming up next on Conspiracy Unlimited, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis here. He'll delve into the deeper state, which will take us inside the war on Trump by corrupt elites, secret societies, and the builders of an imminent final empire. Until next time, so long for now.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.